Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on a huge day at Nationals Park, where we are in a conference room where coaches normally debate things way more important than whether the Redskins are going to beat the Giants, which is what we've been doing today. But the Nats made a major announcement this afternoon that was formally stating that Patrick Corbin had been signed to a six-year, $140 million contract, and he was just introduced here at Nationals Park. And a really cool thing that took place, I just heard Max Scherzer screaming about fantasy football outside the door.
Like, he will never stop competing.
I walked past some room that he's in. I don't know what he's doing. And he's like, what am I supposed to do? I didn't know Jordan Howard wasn't going to do anything this year. So Scherzer came here for the press conference. Uh-huh. Ryan Zimmerman came here for the press conference. Steven Strasburg's here. Patrick, that many of your teammates showing up to kind of greet you and welcome you has got to feel pretty cool. Welcome to Washington, D.C., man. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, guys. First time meeting you guys, so I'm glad to be here. It was cool to see some of those teammates just come by. I wasn't expecting that at all. A couple of them live here, so it was cool to then to come out here, get to talk to them for a little bit, and get to meet some of my teammates.
Now, you just got married recently. How recently was it?
It was 3 weeks ago. Well, the 17th.
Oh, so. Congrats, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, life level up stuff right here, right?
Yeah, so I've been with Jen it seems like my whole life, but since I was drafted, so 2009, and this year we were able to do that. This is our honeymoon kind of right now, so we had to cancel
you didn't get
that
to take a trip yet.
And got to come here.
She's
now.
Like, no, she's like, this does not count.
Yeah. So I see that you're wearing a ring that hasn't been scratched or anything yet. Your wedding band looks good. Your boy, so I got married in February. I lost my wedding band, how many times do you think, in the 2 months after?
206.
I took it off every day. And I actually lost it in Las Vegas at one point, which didn't go over very well with my wife either. So now what I do is I wear this, like, Kalo rubber thing because that's so uncomfortable. Are you used to it yet? Do you still play with it all the time? How does that go?
Yeah, it's I've never had anything on my finger, so it's very weird to have. Sometimes when I sleep, it bugs me a little bit. But trying to get used to it, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it when I'm pitching, because I obviously can't have it on my left hand. So I might have to get a necklace or something like that, but I don't know. We'll see.
How hardcore are you? What about tatting up the ring finger?
No, I don't have any tattoos, so my grandfather was highly against that. So just out of respect for him, I'll probably stay away.
So you've done this, and Patrick Corbin is with us. You've done this, the press conference thing, and you did the marriage thing recently. At both events, or like surrounding both events, I feel like you have to answer the same question like 277 million times. You're like, I'm really happy to be here. Really excited. You know what I am? Is happy to be here, and I'm also excited. Are you tired of answering that stuff already on like your like I'm happy to be here tour?
I'm relieved, I can say now, after this these last couple weeks. Just getting married obviously was some stress behind that, and dealing with all that. It was a great time to hang out with the family, see everybody, and then trying to find out where we're going to play next season. So it feels good to know that that's over and we're ready to go.
I wanted to get to talk about that process here. I think people sort of underestimated, right? As we're consuming, we live our lives, we go to work, we come home, we do whatever we do for like recreation, maybe we pick up basketball or something. But
eat
for you
grilled
guys,
meat at some point.
It's so delicious when it hits your lips. But like, you didn't know what city you were going to live in, right? So there's two different schools. There's like the one agent school where it's like, I'm going to hold out until the day before spring training and then we'll figure it out. Just have your bag packed, we'll figure it out. You guys got this done, right? You're the biggest fish in the offseason in terms of pitching. You're the first guy. I mean, you're. It's over for you. Musical Chairs is done. You settled here. Was that something that you wanted to avoid, that kind of waiting process? You said, as soon as we find it, let's go jump at it?
Yeah, we had opportunities with multiple teams, and with my agent, John, and my wife, we kind of thought maybe going to visit these teams, seeing the city, seeing the ballpark, just talking to the people that we're going to be seeing for the next 5-6 years, we thought. Definitely helped, and meeting these guys here was a big part of it. It was, I guess I don't know why more guys wouldn't do something like that, but it was definitely a great opportunity to come here. It felt like the right place place to be and the right time to sign. And now we have a couple months to find somewhere to live in Florida and in D.C. as well.
29-year-old Patrick Corbin, a lefty drafted in the second round in 2009, made his second All-Star appearance this year here at Nationals Park in the nation's capital. How much of a factor, if at all, was that? You were in D.C. One of the great experiences of your life was here. You're in this ballpark, but also you saw this town at kind of its apex as a baseball town. If the All-Star game was in Minnesota this past year, would it have been any different, or was that a factor in any way?
I think it helped just seeing the city again, but I've come here as a visiting player and always enjoyed my time here, so it helped being able to come here, enjoy the All-Star game, and that time I had more time to see the city, hang out more, not really focus on baseball as much for those couple of days, so it was great. I talked to Mark Lerner about how happy he was to finally have an All-Star game here, and it was great to see how excited he was and how well it did go.
So let's talk about the dinner when you guys sealed the deal a little bit. First of all, where do you eat at?
I keep forgetting the name. They're all like very similar. It's the Italian place on the water. La Mora or...
Is that the wharf, probably, I'm guessing?
Philomena?
Philomara. The one over in Georgetown.
Yeah, the seafood joint?
Okay, so it's like the best restaurant in D.C.
It's really, really
for
good.
Italian food.
It's really good.
I was like, it'd be funny if we were like at Ruby Tuesdays or something. Like. So we really want to make you a national.
We're big fans.
South Park's still open, guys. So that's good. That's a good restaurant. Let's check that box. Who's at that meeting, and then how do they sell you? Because you're doing the same thing with the Phillies. It's speed dating, right? You're doing the same thing with the Yankees. What stood out about the Nationals meeting?
Mike Rizzo was there and Mark Lerner, so being able to talk to them and...
Rizzo party of three.
Mike Pence was there as well, so that was kind of
as part of the dinner or coincidentally.
He was just there.
Okay,
he so comes
we,
over. He's
we
like,
pulled up.
Really and think you could do big things with Max in the rotation this year?
The Secret Service members were there, so yeah. It was kind of we knew something was going on, but just how they want to win, and you could tell right away, and they'll do anything it takes to win, and that was a big thing. Being in Arizona, we didn't have the opportunity every year to make the postseason. I think here is going to give us that opportunity to compete every season, and the seasons are a lot better when you're in the postseason, making a deep run, and the rotation here kind of sold itself, being able to pitch with those other guys in the rotation.
My wife's very upset I mispronounced it. Fiola Del Mar.
Fiola Del Mar
is the name.
Well, there's
multiple.
There's Fiola Mare, there's Fiola Del Mar.
Yeah.
There's the knockoff ones and like
the nice
Manassas.
One. The nice town on the Georgetown waterfront. That's
Patrick. How nerdy are you about the craft of pitching? Like you'll get around Max and he's like, you know, in the second inning of the spring training start, I had a different feel in my cutter and I went to look at 700 hours of video because of it, because he's a maniac, right? Do you go, you know, I've increased my slider percentage to 41% last year and the effectiveness of the pitch. How nerdy do you get, or is it just put a finger down and let's go?
I think there's definitely some things you can pick up. I'm probably not that intense as Max, but that works for him. I think every pitcher is a little different, so you just try to – I'll pick his brain on different things that work for me and try to go out there and get better. But there's definitely – I think I definitely looked more into the analytics a little bit more this season just to get a better idea of some of those things and just take what you think will help you and go out there and pitch.
What do they tell you? That your slider statistically is one of the best pitches in baseball. That's not hyperbole. Mm. People don't hit it hard. You get a lot of either swings and misses in and out of the zone, a lot of weak contact. So you know it. They don't hit it well, so you throw it more. Yeah. Is it that simple?
Yeah, it kind of comes down to that. Throw a breaking ball a little bit more. Be smarter about when you're throwing your fastballs inside, things like that. That you can easily look at a chart and figure out. And knowing hitters and knowing what they like, what they don't like, things like that. And adding a slower breaking ball definitely helps. Something in the low 70s where just kept the hitters off balance, seemed like a free strike here and there. And... was able to kind of go throughout the whole season with that mindset.
Patrick, what's your younger brother's name?
Kevin.
I love Kevin. Yeah. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
At your wedding, Kevin gives a speech.
Yeah.
He's your best man.
Yeah.
And he puts a Yankees hat on.
Yeah.
And he says you should go sign with the Yankees.
I don't know how that got out.
Ken Rosenthal is how that got out.
Yeah, I don't know who is he talking to.
He was there in disguise with a different
Rosenthal
bow tie.
Wasn't at table number 11? Yeah. Is that not what happened? Yeah. So he puts... his Yankees hat on and he wants you to sign with the Yankees.
He's like, why don't you just come home? Why don't you just come back home?
You love the Yankees growing up. When you tell him you're signing with the Nationals, how did that conversation go over?
He said, let's go. He was happy.
He was good. Good.
So, no, it was – my family has been so supportive, and now they're National fans. So that was kind of just a funny joke. I mean, growing up in upstate New York, it was kind of – you had to like the Yankees. So it was something that – I was a baseball fan. I liked playing baseball. I liked watching baseball, and that was something that we did. But I feel like here it's going to be awesome for us, for my family, to be able to come to this city and experience everything with me.
I always use an analogy on the show that I might have to clean up now where I say, oh, that guy, he doesn't look overly athletic. He looks like he shows up for youth sports in jeans. Didn't you try out for like your high school baseball team in jeans?
Yeah, it was – so I played basketball in 11th grade. And some of the guys played baseball, so they wanted me to go try out for the team. I knew I had a good arm, I guess. I wasn't sure how good I'd be. But so I showed up late to the first tryout and just went to the back of the gym. And I might have had a glove with me or not, but I had jeans on, went to the back. And
unreal.
The coach, who was still the coach there, Kevin Rockwell, came up to me and asked, what position do you want to play? And I said, I guess I'll pitch. So
you guess.
I didn't.
Do you think he's the best player that ever tried out for high school baseball in jeans?
Anecdotally, yes.
What position do you want? And said, I guess I will. Yeah.
And I didn't hit in high school. I think I was 3-for-3 my whole career there. So I just pitched and was able to. That next year, I went to a college in Utica, New York, played both sports, basketball and baseball. And then that summer was kind of when things were looking in the right direction.
How's your basketball game these days?
I haven't played in a while. I think it's still pretty good.
Because there's some hoop guys in this locker room already. Rendon fancies himself a two guard for the Rockets. Max thinks he's the best at everything. There could be some competitive, you know, like nerf stuff in the locker room here.
Yeah, I mean, if guys are doing it, I'll join for sure. I love basketball. It's one of my favorite sports growing up. The conditioning is a lot different from baseball. So
yeah, sure.
I think it all helped with being able to be athletic on the mound and repeat my delivery.
August 2017 is when it seems like Patrick Corbin's career changed, you know, in a way where the trajectory became you're now one of the best lefties in baseball and you're about to break the bank. Is there anything specific? I don't know if there's like a great story or great moment or some line of demarcation, but when you trace back to kind of the ascent that you're on now, is there anything that clicked, or is it just kind of started working out for you, you got healthier?
Yeah, so I guess my first full season was able to have success and make an all-star team then. Then that next offseason had Tommy John surgery. So coming back from that, I've never been hurt before in my life. So that was something that I had to go through and experience. And you're never quite sure how you're going to feel when you come back. You definitely have ups and downs throughout that experience. And I've learned a lot probably from getting hurt, being away from the game a little bit, getting back on the mound and having the opportunity to come back and have success and get back to where I was my goal.
When people talk about team building, like fat idiots like us, we go, well, this guy's a number two on this team or number one or number three. That stuff matters at the beginning of the season and then in the postseason. Right? Is that kind of the way you feel about it, just in terms of, you know, I guess Max is the number one, right? Is a two-time and then now the runner-up in the Cy Young balloting is one of the best pitchers in the whole wide world. Does that stuff matter to you? What number you get assigned in terms of the spot in the rotation, or is it just every fifth day, give me the ball?
I think you want to be with those guys, be on the same team as Max and Strasburg and Tanner Roark, those guys that are going to go out there every fifth day, compete, make every start, and whether I'm 1 through 5, that game is just as important. So you try to go out there throughout the whole regular season. It's a marathon to make 33 starts and pitch deep in a game, save your bullpen. Those things all matter. So I'm just, whenever it's my name's called, I'll be able to go out there and try to do the best I can.
Patrick, congrats, man. A lot of hard work paying off today and over the last week. And we're glad you didn't listen to your brother.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to DC.
Thank you.
Yeah, Patrick Corbin, lefty. Front of the Nats rotation, looking a little different with Scherzer and Strasburg now. We're Grant and Danny. Mark Lerner's going to join us this hour. We'll get you set for the Redskins and the Giants on a Football Friday as well here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on a huge day for the Nationals. Your flagship home for the Nats, Patrick Corbin, has been signed, sealed, and delivered. The biggest name on the market, the biggest starting pitcher available, and he is now a Washington National. The man that made that happen is Mark Lerner, and he joins us now on 106.7 The Fan. Mark, let's start with that. I mean, there is so much said going into every offseason about what teams need and what they'll be allowed to do. For whatever reason, I guess you guys sometimes don't get your name in the conversations with the biggest players because people say, oh, they're not going to spend on a Patrick Corbin. You go 6 years, you go 140, you did it. Why did you think this was important this time? And what do you think about maybe that thought on the outside that clearly wasn't right here on Patrick Corbin?
Well, starting pitching was number one on our list. And if you're going to do it, there wasn't Mike's not on?
You just go right up on it. You're
okay.
Good.
Okay.
There you go.
Number one on our list was starting pitching. And there isn't a big supply of great starting pitching this year. And if we were going to go for it, go for the best. And we desperately wanted a left-hander. He just checked off all the boxes we want. He's only 29 years old. It's a good risk on the 6 years. He's just the personality, the team. As Mike said in his press conference, when we did our due diligence about him, everybody raved about his personality, that he's a great teammate and always wants to learn how to get better, just like Max does and everybody else. So it was just a great fit for us, and we were ecstatic that he said yes to us.
Mark, you mentioned if it's worth doing, it's worth doing and going getting the best guy available, yeah. And mission accomplished, yes. I would say. How do you approach payroll in that regard? In other words, the competitive balance tax and some of those numbers make my eyes bleed. Yeah. There's a reason I'm a gum-flapping idiot like I am instead of an accountant. I can't do it,
yeah.
But you guys will exceed it in potentially, right? And pay those kind of taxes. Is it worth it to you if the player's right, if the fit's right?
Well, last year we went over and, you know, you kind of regret it because it's a big check to write.
Yeah.
This year we're absolutely not going to go over.
Okay.
We have a number in mind what we want our payroll to end up. And we're just trying to be smart about how we go about building the team.
Now, when you talk about the big check to write, obviously, you go over last year, and you do so because you feel like the juice is worth the squeeze. You feel like you can go get a World Series, obviously. Is there a point where in the future you go, well, we could add this one more guy, and maybe that puts us over the top, and now that check is worth it again? How do you justify all that in your own head?
It's just a decision we make as a family. If we're positive about what it'll do for us, you know, I guess we'll go over the mark. But in reality, we really want to stay under it. It's not smart to do that, and we just have to be our own checks and balances.
Well, some people say sometimes spending the big money isn't smart from a baseball sense. And you talk about like the contracts you've seen where the Cardinals can go give Albert Pujols $250 to stay, or you could have kept Robinson Cano for $10 and $240, and they let those guys walk. Mm-hmm. You guys are dealing with it from Bryce Harper. When you say it's not smart, do you mean financially, baseball? What do you mean?
Financially.
Okay.
It's just I think everybody handles their payroll a different way. We try to create our own salary cap, so to speak. We didn't do a very good job last season, but we have a number. We're gonna stay at that number or a little bit below, hopefully, and finishing out the ball club for this year.
Is it important to you, though, like let's say you're in D.C., you're in one of the major markets in the country. I don't want us to be below, say, 10. Or do you look at it that way in terms of payroll overall? Like, if you saw you were the 14th payroll at some point in the next few years, would that be something where you go, you know what, we can bump that up. We could be in the top five.
I think it depends on each season and the players that exist on our payroll, their contracts are longer, whatever it is. We take a hard look at it before we start this process. And, again, we put a number on ourselves and just we're trying to stay below that number if possible.
Mark Lerner's with us, managing principal, owner, and vice chair of the Washington Nationals. How do you view last season? And what I mean is that was a great process. If you were to lay out to me and to anybody that follows baseball, hey, here are the boxes that will be checked. Here are the players. Here are the pieces. Here's what's going on. You'd go, 95 win team, first place in the division, ready to compete for a championship. Sometimes guys swing and miss. Sometimes guys get hurt, whatever it was. How do you view that in terms of a process of team building going forward?
Well, first of all, last season I think was a disappointment to everybody. We were slammed with injuries. but we were slammed with injuries the year before, and we, you know, we held our own. But it's a tough one. I think that we learned from that. I think Davey will be the first one to admit he learned from this season. It just, those kind of years happen, and we're not looking back. We're looking forward, and we'll build on that.
Looking forward, Patrick Corbin is introduced today. A bunch of his teammates showed up. I thought it was really cool.
That's neat.
Scherzer, Zim, Strasburg, among them, some of the leaders in the clubhouse. You've also upgraded the catching position. Mike Rizzo wasted no time. It was a problem last year. Enter Yan Gomes, an all-star. Two all-stars added this offseason. And Kurt Suzuki. And you've already upgraded the bullpen with Trevor Rosenthal, who throws a 100 in a workout for you guys. And going and getting Kyle Bearclaw. How do you feel you've done so far, and how much more active do you expect to be?
Well, I think we've done great so far. I didn't expect that we'd have five guys signed, and everyone, I think, can make a major contribution in 2019.
I keep looking at the calendar, by the way. It's not even the winter meetings yet.
Yeah, no, it's funny. One of the questions from Mike in the press conference is, are you even bothering to go to Las Vegas?
Are you kicking your feet up with a pina colada?
I thought that was great. No, but you just never know when somebody's going to knock on your door and say, Mike, what are your needs? Or, you know, Joe, what are your needs? And something happens. And that's, we didn't expect Yan Gomes to be available to us. That just happened, and we grabbed it because we knew he would make a huge difference. And Kurt too. Everybody loves Kurt. I loved him when he was here. Very excited to have him back, and he's grown as a player. I think that we got a 1-2 combination there that is as good as anybody in the game. So we've come from, you know, a weak position for us to a very positive position.
Yeah, certainly a dramatic upgrade at that spot. How has this ongoing headache, this saga, this never-ending story, part 1 million of you-know-what, the Masson television contract situation, whatever it is, again, it's stuff that's over my pay grade. How has that affected your thinking and team building? Is it just now something, it's almost, let me know when it's over and we can deal with it accordingly? Give me an update there in terms of how you guys are approaching it.
Right now, we're in a position where we had our hearing a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. We were waiting for the decision of the panel, and hopefully it's a positive one and we can get this whole nightmare behind everybody. It's been very tough. I mean, you know, they're holding on to a lot of dollars that we could use, and
they being
the Orioles,
right?
And but we did a great job. Our lawyers were, I thought, did just a really excellent job of painting the picture for the board and for them to understand it. So now we just got to keep our fingers crossed and we'll see what happens.
Mark Lerner, always exceptionally candid with us, and we really appreciate when you join us on the show. It's always good to learn about some of the things going on with the team. I'd be remiss, though, if we didn't ask you about Bryce Harper. Still a free agent.
Yes.
You guys made an offer, reportedly pretty substantial, fair $300 million offer to him. Do you now, at this point, is that the one offer you're going to make and you say come back if that works for you, or do you expect to make another offer at some point and kind of negotiate?
Well, when we met with them and we gave them the offer, we told them this is the best we can do. We went right to the finish line very quickly, and we said if this is of interest to you, please come back to us and we'll see whether we can finish it up. But we just couldn't afford to put more than that in and still be able to put a team together that had a chance to win the NL East or go farther than that. So, you know, if they choose to go to some other place, I totally understand. It's an opportunity of a lifetime for Bryce and Kayla and their family. And but we have no hard feelings about it. I must say, I love Bryce, and he was a good teammate here. If he chooses to go someplace else, totally understand it. But we put a one heck of an offer out there.
And I get the sense, for whatever it's worth to you, from our listeners too, who call in, they kind of feel the same way. Like, hey, the Nats did their due diligence here. They made the offer. And I don't know that there's going to be hard feelings toward Bryce Harper. This is a long time coming. The fact of the matter is you guys are built in your outfield right now. Mm-hmm. You have Robles coming. You've got Juan Soto, who had an amazing season. Makes it a lot easier, I think, for you guys to make this decision the way Soto played. But you've got Eaton's controllability. You've got Michael Taylor under contract. Do you feel as though you're set if Bryce Harper doesn't come back?
We feel very strongly we're in good shape. And it'll be a young, pretty incredible outfield defensively, and certainly with the bat, it's going to be special. I think if Adam is now, I think he's back. He had that season, and I think Adam with the two young guys is going to be special outfield.
Mark, the last one on that from me is, as you you mentioned, the business has already picked up here. You guys have been as aggressive as anybody in the positive direction. Seattle probably the most aggressive, getting rid of players, but you guys have been acquiring everybody and dramatically improved this ball club that was already pretty good. That seems to me to be, hey, baseball ops, we can't wait around for any decision that anybody might make. We've got to go get better.
Right.
If a decision gets made from Scott Boras and Bryce Harper, we're coming back to Washington. Is that now precluded based on what you guys have done and might do coming up?
It very well may be. We just, we'll have to sit down and figure it out. If he comes back, it's a strong possibility that we won't be able to make it work. But I really don't expect them to come back at this point. I think they've decided to move on. And there's just too much money out there that he'd be leaving on the table. And that's just not Mr. Boras's, M.O. to leave
money
on the
table.
You
know him a little bit.
Yeah. So, we couldn't be fonder of the two of them and Kayla and Bryce. And like I said, they're like family. I mean, we've been with us, first time we met him, he was 16 years old. So
think about that. It's crazy, right?
It's hard to see somebody like that go, but unfortunately, it's a strong possibility that's going to happen.
All right, we'll let you go on this note. Mark Lerner, so gracious with his time, so great with us here. If, in fact, it is the end, obviously the regret for everyone, fans, you, Bryce, is going to be, he didn't get the ring here. But what he did for DC, you look at the Home Run Derby, which that'll go down as one of my five favorite sports moments of my lifetime.
It was
so cool to go from not having baseball growing up here to RFK and the trailers to that night, right? I don't want to use hindsight here, but it sounds like you're expecting that maybe his days here are done. If that's the case, how will you view Bryce Harper's tenure as a National?
Oh, it was, everybody was going to look at it. This is a special 6 years, and he'll still be iconic in the city when he comes in playing for another team. We'll do right by him and have a real ceremony. You can't be mad at him, and I don't think he'd be mad at us if we can't go any further. We've always been honest with him. My dad and I have both sat with him. He's great. He's a terrific young man, very respectful, and if we can't do it, we can't do it. Who knows what will happen in the next few weeks? I don't know. You don't know. But if he leaves, we wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, just the rise and the popularity of my son's kindergarten class, half the boys went as Bryce Harper for Halloween.
Sure.
It's different than when I grew up and we had to take our life into our hands to go up 95 to see a baseball game. It's different. It's a testament to what you guys have done.
It's what's special also when it happens, and it's very rare, when a player stays his entire career with somebody like Zim has done, and that just doesn't happen anymore. And I'm sure Bryce deep down wanted it to happen here. I know he was happy living here. He always said great things about the organization. So it's just that how much that the money's going to come into play here.
Maybe we can make Anthony Rendon that guy now.
Yeah, well,
why not?
We're going to try to keep Anthony for sure. And again, it's his decision. His wife have to make. But we're lucky. And if for some reason he leaves in a year, we've got some great young kids down in the minors, Garcia and Kaboom, that could step in if they have to. So that's why you got to be ready for this. You're not going to be able to save everybody, and you just do the best you can.
Mark Lerner, been a heck of an offseason for you guys so far. Thanks so much for having us today.
This is great. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Much appreciated. Your flagship home for the Nats, Grant and Danny from Nationals Park on The Fan. What a day for the Nats. Your flagship home for Nationals baseball is 106.7 The Fan. We're Grant and Danny. If you just missed a very candid Mark Lerner with us, a phenomenal conversation, not only on the Patrick Corbin edition that he made possible, but on Bryce Harper and really the fact that Lerner is prepared for him not to return here to the nation's capital. Mike Rizzo makes a lot of the tough decisions for this team. He gives you some parameters to work with. You go out and make the moves. We got a lot of ground to cover, but let's start with Patrick Corbin. Last time we asked you about him, you couldn't tell us much. Now you can. He is your new left-handed starter. Why was he worth the massive amount of money and years you gave him?
Well, massive is a relative term. We think we paid him a the going rate, you know, was a competitive rate. And we think that, you know, he's a guy that really stabilizes our rotation. He's a 29-year-old starting pitcher that we think is the needle's moving north. The stuff is really good. His pitchability has improved each and every year. You know, he's got the durability and the dexterity to change on the fly. He really has kind of reinvented himself the last couple years and going more to a curveball instead of a changeup, and much more effectiveness with his fastball command. And of course, he's got a wipeout slider that is bread and butter, but he's become a pitcher. And you know, we combined his age and his performance and his athleticism had a lot to do with this, because you know, we think that he has longevity. He's several years past the Tommy John, so we think that that's a good precursor to sustained his stuff. And again, we've got a left-handed starting pitcher that fits in well with our rotation.
Mike, when you go in to do those projections, I get the sense that a guy who's 22 is getting guys out because he throws 103. Okay, as long as he has that, he can get guys out. This isn't that. This is a guy, as you mentioned, wipeout slider, developing his secondary and even, you know, his third-tier pitches, right, to keep hitters off balance, stealing strikes with a curveball, and it's not about velocity with him. Does that help with projectability, meaning he could still do this at 34, 35?
Sure. The guys that the elite guys like these guys have to learn on the fly, because you know, pitching, you know, it's a very demanding, physically demanding sport, pitching and baseball. So it's something that you've seen all of our pitchers really improve themselves and learn on the fly. You know, Max is developing a new pitch every year. You know, his arsenal is about four or five pitches that he can go to any time. Strauss has developed a slider in the third or fourth year of his major league career on the fly. So these guys have the ability and the dexterity to really recreate themselves time and time again to have the longevity you need to sustain excellence in the big leagues.
How much of roster construction for you is about kind of keeping up with the Benjamins, in the sense of you may have built a Nats team differently 5 years ago to win a title than you do now? But you look at the playoffs as an example. Blow me out of the water and tell me I'm an idiot. You're allowed to do that. I almost think the bullpen has become more important than starting pitching. If you look at innings and percentage of how you use relievers, you need a great rotation. You need to be three deep to get to the playoffs. That still gives you a chance in a division series, let's say. But do you now view putting a team together where money gets allocated different than 2 or 3 years ago based on trends in the game? Or do you say, this is how we're going to do it, and we can still win this way?
Well, I think it's a fluid conversation that you have to have. You have to have your 1, 3, and 5 year plans all the time. You know, the money that you have allocated on the books already going forward obviously dictates what you can do and what you can't do. I think there's the big portions of your roster have to be created. That the big money's in the elite rotation starters, the middle of the order bats, and the back end bullpen guys. So I think those are your big ticket items, and you have to really fill in kind of the roster around that. And we've allocated a whole lot of money to our the big three starters that we have right now, and we feel that that's as strong of our roster as any part of our roster, and it helps to have good young controllable players that you can rely on to middle that sustain that middle of the lineup threat for you, and have some good values in the back end of the bullpen. So there's different ways to allocate your funds, and I think that it's a fluid situation, but I think as we have it now, that we've got a really good balance of where we're at and where our money's allocated.
Mike Rizzo is with us here on Grant and Danny. Back end of the rotation now, 1 through 3, you're as good as anybody in baseball, and that's, I think, beyond debate at this point. 4 and 5, some candidates, guys that have been here. Maybe Tanner Roark's been down from what he was a couple years ago. He would tell you the same. You've got Eric Fetty, who's got a little bit of big league experience now. Joe Ross coming back. Maybe some other guys competing for those spots. Where do you see that race for those spots right now?
Well, you just hit on it. You have three qualified candidates to fill two spots in there. We've got some depth rotation guys in the minor leagues, in the Voths and the McGowans and that type of thing. We're always have a propensity to pick up several pieces going into spring training. So we like the depth of where we're at with the guys that we have on the roster, the depth minor leaguers that we have in AAA, and then you have the crows and the prospects that are going to probably help you in a year or so, but could be more impactful.
Wouldn't be a shocker, though, if a Jeremy Hellickson situation presents itself. You could go get a veteran maybe to compete or anchor some innings in the back of the rotation, I would think.
Sure, that's what I mean. We have a propensity to do that, towards the beginning of spring training, and we're always looking for value, and if we find a value starter, value reliever, bench player, we're certainly going to be aggressive and allocate some funds to those needs.
Are you surprised at all that you've been able to do this much this quickly? I mean, the winter meetings have not started yet. You've got two catchers, you've got two relievers, and a front of the rotation type starter. You could kind of sit back, kick your feet up, and spring training could start, and you could feel like you've done enough to compete for a division title. I'm sure you won't do that, but it's surprising how quickly it's all transpired. Last year was the opposite of this for almost baseball across the board.
Yeah, I think that the trade market this year has been accelerated. It's been a pretty frenzied trade market. Some big blockbuster deals have already happened. We kind of chose to attack the off season where we could find some values. The Bear Claw trade came real quickly into the season because we seized on an opportunity that the Marlins needed some international cap money to do what they did. So we acquired him. That was something that was unexpected. We saw Trevor Rosenthal throw extremely well live and in person. So we kind of expedited that situation because we really felt that was a value of a guy who's closed in the big leagues, that's coming back, has something to prove, very, very hungry with really good stuff. We saw the stuff post-surgery, so we feel good about that. And then we really wanted to attack the catcher position, and we wanted to get multiple catchers. And once we kind of balanced out the free agent market with the trade market, we felt that, the Rhea Muto kind of situation didn't work out for us. We weren't going to pay the price for an extremely good catcher in Rhea Muto. Our plan B automatically was to start negotiating for Yan Gomes. And in the meantime, we went out and we're really aggressive with Kurt Suzuki because I wanted him on this club. I wanted him in the clubhouse. I wanted him to be a part of this family. And we thought the combination of Suzuki and Gomes was, to us, gave us the position of catcher as a real strength for us now, with real good depth in the minor leagues to facilitate if need be at the big league level. And we let both catchers know where we were going at all times and what the situation was, like we always do. And we were up front with them, and they're both gung-ho and all in on it all.
How did you want to structure that, the two catchers?
Well, I think that, that's a Davey question, but they've both caught a lot of games. They've both been the number one catcher on their clubs, and they've both played at high level games. Gomes has caught Cy Young Award winners and terrific staffs, and so has Kurt. And I think they do it differently. Zook is a guy that's really been an elite offensive player the last two years, and his OPS is I think the fourth highest in out of all
mid
catchers.
Eights, yeah,
in all the big leagues. So and Gomes had a breakout offensive season last year, but his bread and butter is he's a terrific framer and a great receiver and a guy that has a terrific arm. We think is going to throw out a lot of potential base stealers. So both of them prepare extremely well. They're pseudo pitching coaches when they're catching. And the most important thing to both of those catchers is how is my pitching staff doing? And that's the mindset I want All my catchers I have.
Mike, what's next on the shopping list? Or what do you want? What do you need? What do you feel like?
Well, we're going to go in with a strategy on how we're going to attack things. You never have enough pitching, and you never have enough depth. And I think that we'll concentrate on that going into it. And if they're we'll probably really concentrate on getting some sort of value in the market, be it the trade market or the free agent market, and see if we could help ourselves out by getting something that really fits nice for us and that fits into the ball club.
Is it a possibility Carter Kieboom could start at second for you in the second half of this year? I mean, he hadn't played there a lot.
I don't think the new position would curtail him from playing in the big leagues. I just think that he, when he's ready to play in the big leagues, and we feel that his development is going to allow him to get to the big leagues, we'll bring him. You've seen that. Nobody brings more young guys to the big leagues than we do, and I think that a credit to our scouting and player development systems is that you draft players that can get here quick, and we develop them quickly and in the right way. Boomer is one of the what I've seen most about Boomer, what I like most about him, is he's got a terrific baseball IQ. This guy knows how to play the game at a big league level right now. He's got great skill sets, but this guy's mental aspect will allow him to come here quickly. He's going to have to adapt to second base. I think he'll take to that very quickly. But we also want to make sure that he continues to play shortstop, because we see him in the long term as a guy who can play every day at shortstop, and his versatility also allows him to go to the other side of the diamond. I think it's important for us to be strong up the middle, and we've improved ourselves with our catching situation. Obviously, our rotation's improved in the middle. You've got Turner, who's just his arrow's north, and he had a terrific year at shortstop for us, and center field. You're going to have two dynamic defensive center fielders in Taylor and Robles, and I think that it's important to your pitching staff to have that great defense.
It's a good day to be Mike Rizzo, Patrick Corbin, introduced to the media here at Nationals Park. A winter meeting's coming up in Las Vegas. I guess you just pack a bathing suit then and go swim for a little while and hang out at one of the casinos or something, because you don't have much to do now.
Well, and those meetings, you very rarely leave the room, so it's.
But you don't normally have your
Las Vegas. It could be Des Moines, Iowa, or Las Vegas, Nevada. It doesn't matter. The room is the room.
Well, enjoy yourself. I know you'll stay busy, even though you guys have gotten a lot done already. And thanks for a couple of minutes.
Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Always good, Mike. Thanks,
Grant and Danny here on the Fan. We've got a pair of tickets for you to go see the Redskins take on the New York Giants this weekend. We'll give those away right now. You got to be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Tickets are still available. You can go to thefandc.com/contest for more info, made available by the Washington Redskins. If you missed any part of today's show, great interview with Mark Lerner, Mike Rizzo, Patrick Corbin, all this hour, go to grantanddanny.com/audio. Chad Dukes versus the World is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.